Bottom of Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis. The last two lines on the page of a Kafron. We were speaking about a Kafron, someone who denied a claim, a defendant who denied the plaintiff's claim and then was proven to have lied. Is Hol the Asal Yadon? Since we've dealt with it in the previous Sugya, name of Bay Mil, so let's go a little bit further and we'll suggest some sort of halacha that applies to a kafran. The Omer of Yosef, Bar Miniyomi, Omer of Nachman. Rav Yosef says in the name of Rav Nachman, Omrulo, in a case where Beis Din said to the kafran, say Tainlo. Now, when Beis Din comes to a verdict that the defendant is chayev, they can say one of two things. They could say tain lo, go out and pay the money that's due. Let's say, for example, if there was a lawsuit between a lender and a borrower, a malva and a lova, go out and pay the malva, because we determined that you're chayv to pay. And here we turn to Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The omer and the lova comes back after a certain period of time. That's Rashi on the top says Liachar Zman Parati. I already paid up. In other words, Beis Din gave me a horah and I fulfilled that horah. Say Tainlo is Neman. In such a case, he's believed. Again, he has to take what's called the Shvuas Heseis, and we had a Gemara back on Daf Hey that even though Kofra Kol is potter from a Shvu according to the Torah, only Modav Mixas is Chayev, but Rav Nachman back on Daf Hey had already established that the Rabbanon imposed a Shvuas Heseis even in the case of a Kofra Kol. So here, clearly, Neman Rashi says B'Shvuas Heseis, top line. However, the reason why we accept this Taina of the Lova of Parati is because maybe he did pay up. There's a possibility that he paid up. But Ba Malva, if the Malva comes in front of Beis Din and he says, he requests from the Beis Din Lichtov, write a Shtar Adrachta, which will allow me with this document to come and collect from the possessions and the properties of the Lova, whatever I find, is Ein Kosvin Vinosnilo. Again, since there is a possibility, a serious possibility, that the Lova paid up, and that's again in the case of Tain, of Tzevet Tainlo, therefore, we're not going to give this weapon, the shtar, a drachta, into the hands of the malva, because then he can collect the nechasim and of the lova. We're not sure that he actually has those rights. The Ritva has a chiddush here. There are two types of alvos. There's a halva balpeh, what we call a milv balpeh, and there's a milv b'shtar. And Beis Din doesn't have the right to convert one to the other. It's a milv bal peh. If they go ahead and write a shtar on behalf of the malva, then that would be giving into the malva's hands, creating a milv b'shtar, and that we can't do. If, however, says the Ritva, we would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the lova has not paid up, then would the halacha change? And again, according to the Ritva, there's this fundamental halacha that we can't write a shtar and transform a milv bal peh to a milv b'shtar. And therefore, even if we don't believe the lova to say parati, nevertheless, giving a shtar into the hands of the malva is not legit. The Rosh insists that the whole point of the shtar is so that the lova will not be able to claim parati. And since the lova in this particular case is not believed to say parati, then what's the big deal? We can write the shtar. In any event, our sugya says that since there's a chash, there's a very serious possibility that the lova did actually pay up the chov, then we cannot write a shtar, because that shtar, given into the hands of the malva, will preclude the credibility of the lova as far as tainus parati. And the Rambam codifies this in Hilchos Toin Venita in Perek Zayin. He writes, "Lefichach im chazra tovel u'dayonu v'yomru kisvu li hoda'aso ein kosim v'nosnin shem apara." Because within this period of time, although Bezin established that the lov has to pay up, and they said go out and pay him, the lov may have taken advantage of the opportunity to fulfill the ra'as Bezin within that period of time. If the Malva comes back into Bezin and says, "Well, give me a shtar," we cannot write that shtar because the lova may have fulfilled the horos bezdin and he was porea. And the shtar in the hands of the malva will be such a strong weapon that the lova will not be believed to say parati. Oh, that's all in the case of tse v'teimlo. However, chayav atol li'teimlo, that's a quote, if the bezdin says to the lova that you're obligated to pay him, which means pay him now, it doesn't mean, you know, down the line you should pay him. And this is not like the previous case where they said tsei v'tein lo, v'yomer, and here in this case of chayav atol li'tein lo, after a period of time, the lover comes back and he says, "Parati, I fulfilled the horos bezdin, eino neman." Here he's not believed. So what we want to analyze here, we want to compare these two lashonos of bezdin. The first one is tsei tein lo, and the other one is chayav atol li tein lo. And the question is, why is it in the first case the lova is believed to say parati, I fulfilled the mandate of Bezdin and I paid up, and in the second case he's not believed? So if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maschel Eino Neman, and this is in the second case of Chayav Atol Litein Lo, we understood the Chayav Atol Litein Lo meant pay him now. Rashi says just the opposite. Rashi says, "Ein darko lemayr lefroa, ashi yifseku dino psak gomur." Rashi says that there are two categories: there's a psak gomur, and there's a regular psak. And Rashi says that a psak gomur creates a horas bezdin to pay, and Rashi identifies that with the first case of tsei v'tein lo. However, in the case of chayav atol li'tein lo, which we added the word miyad, Rashi takes away the word miyad, and Rashi says ein darko lemar lefroa. This is not a psak gomur. Chayav atol li'tein lo, That's an establishment of an abstract chiyuv, meaning Bezdin, and we have to understand why Bezdin would go this way or that way. Bezdin has two options. They can create, through their psak, a chovas gavra, or they can create a horas tashlumin. In other words, the psak is on the maisa tashlum, the maisa Piron. If they create a chov, then they haven't yet gone that step further, says Rashi, to give a psak gomer. Psak gomer means a horas tashlum. That they didn't get. They didn't say now pay. Not the way we interpreted it, but Rashi says chayev atol liten is ato chayev. Ato chayev means the chov is kavra. When you'll pay it up? Well, when you get around to it, so to speak. And therefore, Rashi says, "Ein amemayer, ein darkel amar lefroa." In chayav atol li'tein lo, since Bezdin didn't go that extra, the extra 9 yards and say tamlo, now we want a tashlum, then the assumption is that the lova is not going to pay right now. Why is he rushing to pay? Only when Bezdin says tamlo, which as we said is a horas tashlum, then the lova is believed to say, I did exactly what Bezdin said. Tainlo, I gave it. I fulfilled Oros Tashlum. Again, Rashi had pointed out that nevertheless, the lover requires a Shavuos Heses. And that's true in general for any Kofra Kol. But the lover has credibility to say Parati. But if Bezdin just establishes a Chovas Gavra, which is an abstract Chiyuv, they didn't say tainlo, they said chayavato li tainlo, then he's not believed to say parati. Which means, by the way, that he's not even believed with the Shavuos Heses. That's what Rashi says. Eino nemen li shava. Oh. So now what happens if the lova is not believed to say parati? Says Rashi, the malva now has rights to collect the chov with the shvuah. And the reason for that is that the malva sued the lova in Bezdin, and the lova, we don't believe, will speedily pay up. And therefore, he's not believing the tainas parati. Now we take away the chashash piron. Now, if you recall, what we said before is that the reason why the malva cannot demand and compel Bezdin to write on his behalf a shtar drachta is because we have a chashash piror, and that would be a dangerous tool into the hands of the malva to collect the nechosim of the lova. But here that the lova is not believed to say parati, then we could write a shtar drachta. And that's what the Gemara says now. Ba malva lichtov, the malva comes in and he requests a shtar drachta kosvin v'nosnin lo, because the lova is not believed to say parati. And again, this doesn't sound like the ritva that we said before, that was still converting a shtar, a milva balpen to a milva b'shtar. And that question remains for the time being in the back burners. But Rashi raises another point over here. Why is it that the malva, Rashi doesn't explain, requires a shvuah? And that Rashi on the third line down says, kenegdo nishba v'notel. The tovea, the plaintiff, in this case the malva, has to take a shvuah. And the possibility exists that what Rashi is saying is that any time a person produces a shtar chov against the lova, if the lova is not believed to say parati, he nevertheless does have rights to say to the malva, take a shvuah that I didn't pay you back. Now here, in our case, the nitba, meaning the lova, has rights, if he's not believed to say parati, to demand a shvuas nishba v'notel from the malva. I'm not sure if you can push that into Rashi. Rashi seems to assume that in any event, automatically the malva, since he's gotten rights to collect, he has to take a shvuas nishba v'notel. Rashi doesn't say that it's the schus of the nitba of the defendant here to demand a shvuah. This is the rights of the defendant. Perhaps Rashi holds that since if Bezdin had said tainlo, the lova would be believed to say parati. Therefore, even though we're going a step further and we're saying that that's only tainlo, but if it's chayavat only tainlo, that's not enough. We have some sort of an assumption that the lova would not yet have been poreh, he's not running to be poreh because it's only an abstract chiyuv chovas gavra ato chayav. But nevertheless, there still is some evidence, but some power or authority invested in the side of the nitba of the lova, because after all he's muchsak, and we don't know whether he did fulfill. Maybe he jumped and he fulfilled the dictum, the mandate of Beis Din early. Therefore, we impose a shvua automatically on the malva that gives him rights to collect. The malva doesn't have an absolute right to collect. Now, Tosus here on Chayvat Olitein Lo is bothered by a Gemara in Sanhedrin, because the premise of our Gemara is that Chayav HaTolitin Lo is not a Psak Din Gomor, as Rashi said. And yet, the Gemara there asks, what's a Gmar Din? And the Gemara's answer is that Ploni Ata Chayav. So you see that Ploni Chayav, which is like Chayav Ata, does constitute and qualify as a Gmar Din. So Tosa says that the Gemara over there is not entering into the issue of whether or not the Love is going to be believed to say Parati or not say Parati. What the Gemara wants to accomplish there by establishing that Ploni Chayav is Gemar Din is that there is a Psak. Now, what's the significance of the fact that there is a Psak, a Chalashem Psak? There's a halacha that normally Dayonim could push for a pshara, for some sort of compromise. Let the defendant pay half, and let the plaintiff lose or forfeit half. But here, once Beis Din, instead of traveling down the highway of pshara, they already instituted a psak. If they're still judging the case, maybe they can change their mind halfway and shoot for a pshar. But once they reach a gmar din, that's when there's no right to impose any or try to impose a pshara. Because once they said he's chayev, why should the plaintiff now backtrack, you know, and forfeit his rights here, retreat, and accept a pshara when Beis Din said he's chayav? So the Chovas Gavra is enough to be mafkia the pshara, because basically we have tipped the scale here in this court case in favor of the plaintiff. But in terms of whether or not the defendant has to pay now, that's where Rashi says that chayavato is not a gmar din. Rav Zvid quotes Rav Nachman. Again, until now we had Rav Yosef quoting Rav Nachman. Now Rav Zvid is quoting Rav Nachman. And this is a different version, a tradition or transmission of Rav Nachman. Bein tsei v'tein lo, bein chayev ato liten lo, v'omar parati neman. Even in the case of Chayavato Liten Lo, the Lov is still believed to say Parati, because again, he's claiming I paid based on, in order to implement the Ras Beis Din, and he's believed, again, he's believed with the old classical Shavuos essays. In other words, according to Rav Zvid's version of Rav Nachman, even in the case of Chayavata, there is a credibility on the part of the Lova to be believed to say, I fulfilled that Chiyuv, that Chovas Kavra, even though Beis Din didn't actually go the next step. And therefore, Bo Malva Lichtov, if the Lova is believed, even in the case of Chayavata, therefore the Malva is not, doesn't have rights to demand or request from Beis Din the writing of a shtar drachta, ein kosvin v'nosvin lo. Ela iko leflugei, e iko leflugei hachi hu de iko leflugei. If you want to make a distinction between two types of horas, Beis Din's, This is the way you should formulate the distinction. Omru lo tsei ten lo v'yoma parati v'edim e'idin oso shalo para huchsa kafron li oso mama. In a case where Beis Din said to him, tsei ten lo, which again gives the lover the right to say, I did fulfill the dictum, the requirement of Beis Din, and I paid up. He's believed to say parati, and that's going to every version of Rav Nachman. But then the malve, after the lover presented his claim of parati, evokes, proves with Edim that he didn't pay up, and that makes the lover into a huchsa kafran. It means that the lover, when he paid up according to his claim, should have invited Edim to prove that he paid up. He didn't do so. And on the contrary, the malver subpoenas two Edim to come to Beis Din and to testify that the malver came in front of them and in front of the lover, demanding payment of this chov al pi oras Beis Din. And the Edim testify that the lover, in their presence, refused to pay the malva. That's what we call ha'azas panim. Is huksa kafran. He's not going to be believed later on, this lover, when he says, I paid and I have no Edim to prove that. Because in front of two Edim, he already refused to pay. And now when he comes to say that I paid, he's a huksa kafran li oso mamon. Once he denied, or refused, that's the better word, once he refused to pay in front of Edim, then as far as this moment is concerned, he's established as a kofer b'mamon. That I don't want to pay. I refuse to pay. Now he says, oh, I went ahead and I paid. But you already admitted that you don't want to pay. You already refused to pay in front of two Edim. And the Edim testified to that effect. He's no longer believed to say parati. Unless, again, he can prove in front of another two Edim that he changed his mind after his original refusal and he actually paid. But in the absence of Edim, he's not going to be believed. Now, again, this is all in the case of Tzei V'tein Lo. Rav Nachman distinguishes between that and the case of Chayav Atal Litein Lo, because then V'yoma Parati V'edim Yidin Oso Shelo Para, the Edim testified that the Malva in their presence demanded payment from the Lova, and the Lova refused to pay. V'chazav V'yoma Parati Lo Huchsa Kafron Li Oso Mama. Now, in order to understand the Yesod of this Sugya, let's emphasize first the huksa kafran li oso mamon, back in the first case, tsei ten lo. What does that mean? Normally, when a person is kofer b'milva, he's still kosher, he still has, henceforth, credibility, because we apply the svara of ishtamuti kam ishtamed. So when we find out that a person denied his obligation to pay a malva, we don't call him a kafran. We don't say he's mufka from their monos. He's koshli edus. And that's back on daf gimel amid beis. Here, what we're saying is huksa kafran li oso mamon. As far as this mamon is concerned, meaning this tvia and this halva and this chiyuv, we don't believe him anymore. He can't say, well, I refuse to pay. And he was meis ponov and he said, I'm not going to pay the malva. And that he did in front of two Edim, and then come back and say, I paid. On that very tvi, on that very chov, he's not believed. That's called huksa kafron li oso mamon. And here we're not going to say, ishtamute kom ishtamet. Comes Rav Nachman, he says, okay, ishtamute kom ishtamet is inapplicable in the case of tsei ten lo, because Beis Din said that he immediately has to pay. There was a horas tashlim, as we called it before, and then he refused to pay. That makes him a huksa kafran be also mamon. We don't say that he's playing games over here. He doesn't have the money. He's dilly dallying. He's trying to buy some time. But says Rav Nachman, in the case of Chayav Ato Liten Lo, there he may have actually been Mishtamute Komishtamit. What did he decide to say in front of two Edim? That Parati. And you'll ask yourself the question, how could he believe now to say Parati when in front of two Edim he refused to pay? So the answer is that he wasn't really denying the Chov. We're going to apply the Svar of Ishtamuti Komishtamit. He was just trying to be Mishtamit to give himself a little bit more time. And Savar, because he justified this in his mind, Ad Dema'ainu Be Rabbonin Bedine. Bezdin didn't give me a Psak Gomur. They only said Chayav Atolitein. They didn't give me a Horas Tashlu of Tzeitein Lo. So therefore he thinks that Bezdin is more or less saying to him, you know, when you get a chance, and Bezdin will finally give you a Psak Din Gomur, but in the interim, you know, if you have a chance, pay. Or you should know that you have a Chiv to pay. So that's already Ishtamuti Komishtamit. There's no urgent need in the mind of the Loved to pay immediately. So that according to this formulation, Rav Zvid's formulation of Rav Nachman, it's not that the distinction between Tzeitein Lo or Chayav Atolitein Lo is in terms of the credibility, the nemonis of the Lova to say Parati. In both cases, the Lova is believed to say Parati, even in the case of Tzeitein Lo. But the difference between the two and the Psak She'eno Gomur in the case of Chayav and the Psak Gomur in the case of Tzeitein Lo, that touches on the issue of Huchsa Kafron Bioso Momen as opposed to Mishtamuti Komishtamit. In the case of Tzeitein Lo, where the Edim say that he was Kofer, now he wants to come back and say Parati, there's no Sfara of Mishtamuti Komishtamit because Bezdin gave him a mandate to pay up. And if he refuses to pay in front of two Edim, he's a Kafron on Oso Momen. Because the Tviya of the Malva is an immediate, urgent, legitimate tviya to pay now. If the Lova refuses to pay, there's no Ishtamuti Komishtamit. The Lova has no right, and he understands very well that in Chayav Atolitein Lo, in Tzeitein Lo, that he has no right to dilly-dally and delay his payment. He got a Psak Din Gomer with a Chovaros Tashlum. So once he denies this chov and says, you know, I'm not willing to pay, he becomes Huchsa Kafron Bioso Momen. He's not a Huchsa Kafron in the absolute sense of Kofra Bemilva, meaning that he's forfeited his life, his credibility henceforth, forever and ever. He's not believed in Avis, no. Huxaka is Kofra Bemilvus is Koshali Edus. But here, what we're going to establish is that as far as this moment is concerned, there was a pressing requirement of Bezdin to pay, and if he refused, he's not believed to say he turned his, you know, he turned his back around and his kivud, and he decided to pay. But if Bezdin didn't give him a Psak Din Gomer, they said Chayav Atolitein Lo, then in the absence of a Psak Din Gomer of Horas Tashlum, just a Chova, then he's believed to say Ishtamuti Kamishtamid, and even though he refused to pay on the first round, now he says he got the money together and he actually paid off the Chov. So going back to the Tzeitein Lo situation here in Rav Zvid's frame of reference, there are two categories of Mishtamit. There's a Mishtamit on this particular chov, once he's established himself as a mishtamet on this chov, that creates a chazaka, and if he's not going to be believed that he paid afterwards, he's a mishtamet on this chov. But in general, if a person is kofer b'milveh, then he hasn't established himself as an ultimate, absolute mishtamet, and therefore he's kosher li'edus. Omar Rabba, Bar Bachana. We're continuing with this concept of Huchsak Kafran, Omer Rav Yochanan. So here's Rab in the name of Rav Yochanan. A person sued his friend, and the plaintiff claims Mona li biyodcha. V'halah, the defendant says, Omer, ein lecha biyodai klum. So he's a kofra kol. V'edim yidin also sheyeshlo. The edim support the testimony of the plaintiff, of the malva, to the effect that he, the lova, owes this money. The lova just said, ein lecha biyodai klum. Chazar v'yoma parati. Now he goes ahead and he says, parati, he has just denied this particular tviya, is huchsa kafron also mama. As far as this tviya is concerned, he can't come back and say, parati. And again, Rashi points out that huchsa kafron li oso mama, enu neman od olav, on this particular tviya, lomar, Chazarti uparati, achi yifra b'ed. Now, in the case of Huchsak Kafran b'oso mamun, is the malva, is the tovea believed without a shvuas nishba v'notel? And the answer is that the Rush writes that even though earlier we said in Rav Nachman's favorite reference that when they told the defendant, the lova chayav ato litein lo, that the lova is not believed to say parati, because at the beginning of this tefiyah he was kofer, is Rashi says that the tova has to take a shvua. But Rashi's Shvua, if you go back to the top of the page, Rashi says, Kenegdo Nishpa Venotel, that's not a case where he was Huchsa Kafran Beoso Mama. That was a case of Chayvata Liten Lo in the formulation of Rav Yosef, quoting Rav Nachman. And he's not believed to say parati because in that case he didn't get a psak din gomer. But here, in a case where he's huksa kafron, the tovea does not have to take a shvua. And the rush is bothered. What's the unique, or the difference between huksa kafron and the din of chashed al shvua? The halach of chashed al shvua is that kenegdo nishba v'notel. And he says the following, that in the case of Choshed al Shavua, a person who's not trustworthy to be a Shavua, like a person who steals, or we think he steals, he's not Nifsal because of this Tviya. This Tviya doesn't exclude him from a Shavua. Meaning it's not that in this particular Tviya we believe the Tova and we don't believe the Nitva, and therefore the Nitva can't take a Shavua. But rather, the Nitva has forfeited, in a general sense, his reliability. And therefore, although he does have technically rights to take a Shavua, but we're not going to trust the Shavua, so we pass on and transfer the Shavua over to the Tovea. But here, says the Rush, he's Nifsal Machmas Osa Tviya, because there was a Tviya and he was Huksa Kafran on this Tviya. In such a case, the Tovea doesn't have to take a Shvuas Nishba Vinotel. Now the Gemara tells a story. Ki ha deshabtai braid Rabbi Marinus. Kosavle lekalse itztala demilsa biksubasa vekabla ale. So this Shabtai writes to his daughter-in-law in Harksuba that she brought into the Nisuin from her family, from her father's house, a certain me'il, a certain article of clothing, and he describes it as itztala. Itztala is translated into Hebrew as me'il tsemer naki ben yomo. So apparently it's something of chshivus, V'kibli alei, and this father-in-law, this Shabtai, accepted upon himself the achrayus that in event that she is widowed or is divorced, he promises, he commits himself to Shemi'il zeh odom v'yebiyoda, that she will walk out of the house of her husband with this me'il. That's his absolute commitment. Now, this applies, the Me'iri says, whether or not the husband has nechasim at the time of the marriage, or he doesn't have nechasim. He became an orev, this father-in-law, to the ksuba. He's like a cosigner, a backer of the ksuba. He's meshabin himself. Which means that even if he, at the time of the marriage, even if the chasim, my son in this case, doesn't have the chasim that a mishubadim, I take upon myself a separate shibut. And that's what he committed himself to do. And this was written in the ksuba. The problem is, irkas ksuba, so the ksuba got lost. And that ksuba would testify to the achrayus of the father-in-law of Shabtai. And when she was divorced and she came into Beis Din to claim that me'il, or at least its value, Amar lo, he says, lo hayudvar me'ola. He denied that he ever took upon himself this his chayvus. But little did he know that Edim were around the corner to testify, Asu sahadim yamri, in Kasavla, we saw the ksuba, and we saw and can testify to the fact that he, Shabtai, the father-in-law, took upon himself this achrayus to the ksuba. Lisof. Later on, after this edus, Omar lo, Shabtai comes back and he says, when she claims the money of the me'il, parati, I paid it up. Also, l'kami de Rav Chiya, the case came in front of Rav Chiya. Omar le, Rav Chiya turns to Shabtai, and he says, huchzakta kafran li osa itzdala. You denied that you ever took the achrayus, and as far as this tviya is concerned, you're not believed. You have a requirement now, once you refuse to pay and deny the chov, to pay in the presence of two edim. And if you don't have edim to testify that you paid up, we don't believe you. You're a huchsa kafran li osa mamon. Just on the side, there are two types of nechasim in the ksuba. When a woman brings in nechasim into a ksuba, there's nechse malug, where the Baal gets to eat the peros. And in such a case, if the object goes down in value, that loss, that depreciation, for example, the case of an Eved Vehizkin, is sustained by the Isha. But then there's something called Nichsei Tzom Barzel. And in Nichsei Tzom Barzel, there's an absolute hischaivus on the part of the Chasan, the Baal, to pay the value as it was evaluated at the time of the wedding. And if it goes up or down, that's the problem of the chasan. He sustains that loss in Nichsei Tzom Barzel. So for example, if the Eved was written up as Nichsei Tzom Barzel and then he died, it doesn't matter. In the case of divorce, the chasan, the Baal, will still have to pay that value as it was evaluated as Tzom Barzel at the time of the wedding for the life Eved. Our case here of Shabtai is basically Nichsei Tzom Barzel, but not that the chasan took upon himself the eschaivus of Nichsei Tzom Barzel, but the father of the chasan in this case took upon himself Nichsei Tzom Barzel. And that means that even if this me'il was lost, he still has to pay the Dmei HaMe'il, because it's evaluated at the time of the ksuba, written in the ksuba as Nichsei Tzom Barzel. Let's go right to the Gemara. Omar Rav Chiya, Omar Rav Eloy, Rav Yochanan, Hayechayv lechavero shvua. Let's say, for example, a Reuven was Toveh Shimon, and Shimon was Modeh B'Miksas, and Modeh B'Miksas is Chayev a shvua. Or, for example, Reuven was Toveh Shimon, Shimon was Kofra Kol, but Reuven brought one witness to support his claim, and therefore Shimon, the Nitba, has to take a Shavua. The Omar and the Nitba claims, Nishbati, I already took the Shavua. Va'edim Me'idin oso shalonishba. And the witnesses testify that he never took a shvuah. Again, exactly how they know that, we're going to have to say that lo zozem itachas yodenu, that somehow he was in our presence for a period of time, and we know that he didn't take the shvuah. And that's true even in the case of Edom who say that he never was poreah. Fine. Says the Gemara, in this case, huchzak kafron li osa shvuah. Once he claims that he took the shvuah and he's disproven, we have disproved that claim because we've proven that he never took the shvuah, the Edom testified to that effect, then he becomes huchsa kafron liosa shvuah. Later on, if he claims that he did take the shvuah in front of Pesdin, he's not going to be believed. Now, in the previous discussion that we had about huchsa kafron liosa mammon, we interpreted that in front of Edom, the malva demanded payment and the lova refused to pay. That makes him into a huchsa kafron liosa mammon. However, there's another way, an alternative way of learning huchsa kafron liosa mammon, and that is that the nitba claims parati, I paid on a certain day, and the Edom testified that on that day that he claims he paid up, they were with us the entire day and we saw that he wasn't poreah. Not that we heard him refuse. In this case of Nishbati, where the Nitba says, I already took the Shvuah, for sure, it means that in front of the Edom, he says, he claims that he took the Shvuah. Meaning that when the plaintiff says, I demand the Shvuah, he, the defendant, he refused to take the Shvuah. That makes him into a Huchsa Kafron Liosa Shvuah. And the pshat of Rashi that huchsa kafron means I, in front of Edom, I refuse to pay, or in this case, in front of Edom, I refuse to take the shvuah. It's absolutely clear that we're not talking about a case where he says he took the shvuah on a certain day, and the Edom say, well, you were with us on that day, and you certainly didn't take the shvuah. Now, in order to appreciate why that's so, we have to read the Hemshech HaSugya. Let's not jump the gun. And the Gemara says the following. Amrua kameid Rabbi Avo. This statement of Rabbi Oven in the name of Rabbi Yochanan was called to the attention of Rabbi Avo. Amr lahu, and Rabbi Avo wanted to make the following distinction. That this huchsa kafron liosa shvuah only applies in case A, but not in case B. Mistavra milsa de Rabbi Oven. In what case? Sheneschayev shvuah v'bezdin. In other words, the case of Odom Mikzas or Eirecha that we discussed earlier when Bezdin was Machayev Meshvuah. Aval. But let's say the case was that Bezdin was not Machayev Meshvuah, but Chiev Atzmo Shvuah. In other words, if the Nitba, the defendant, offered out of the goodness of his heart, you know, he volunteered to take the Shvuah, he wanted to demonstrate that, you know, I'm so convinced that my, and I want to convince others that my claim, my Tainus Patur is so true and reliable, I'm willing to even take a Shvuah. And then afterwards, subsequently, the Eidim with Tovea in their presence that he take the Shvuah, and he refused to take the Shvuah, and then he says, Nishbati Lecha, Neman. In such a case, even though he pushed off the plaintiff, the Tovea, in front of Edom, and he refused to take the Shvuah, that doesn't make him into Huchsa Kafron of an Inish de Mikri V'yomar. Because a person might deny that he owes him a Shvuah, because Bezdin, in fact, did not impose, there wasn't evidence that would generate a Chiv Shvuah. He was Mechayev himself to take a Shvuah. So when he says that I refuse to take a shvuah, that's what he said in front of two Edim, he's not considered a mesarev shvuah, you know, that he absolutely refused to take a shvua, he's a mishtame. He doesn't want to take a shvua right now. Because again, the shvua was self-imposed. And kind of swinging back to what we said before, this could not be a case, this whole discussion that we had with Rav Ovin and Rabbi Avo, this whole sugi could not be discussing a case where the nitba, the defendant is a huksa kafra, we also shvua, because he says he took the shvua on a certain day, and the Edim testify that he was with us on that day, and in fact we know for sure he didn't take a shvua. That huksa kafra also shvua would apply even in a case of chiyev atzmon b'shvua, and the distinction that Rabbi Ovid is making would certainly fall apart. Just to summarize this point, and this chiddush you'll find in the Nachlas David, who was a Talmud of the Gaon back in Volozhin, is that in the case where the kfira, the denial of the nitba was to the effect that I took the shvua already on a certain day, and the Edom say, we were with you on that day, you didn't take the shvua, there he becomes a huksa kafron liosa shvua, even in the second case of chiyav atzmo b'shvua. Now, adrua kami de Rabbi Ovin. The chachamim in the Beis Medrash, they came back to argue with the argument or the qualification of Rabbi Avo to be mechalik between Mischayv al pi Bezdin and Mischayv al pi Atzmo. Omer lahu, and Rabbi Ovin responded, Ana nami be Bezdin Amri. I also agree with that distinction. When I made the statement that he's Huxa Kafra on the Osa Shvua, I was talking about the case where he was Mischayev Shvua Alpi Bezdin, not the case of Mischayev Shvua Alpi Atzmo. It marnami, Omer Yav Ovin, Omer Yav Ilah, Omer Yav Yochanan, Hoy Chayev L'Chaver Shvua Bezdin, like Modem Mikzas, etc., the Omar Nishbati, and he claims that he already took the Shvua. The Edom Eden also Shalom Nishba Huxa Kafron Liosa Shvua. Clearly, circumscribing this din of Huxa Kafron Liosa Shvua in the case of a Chiyuv Shvua Alpi Bezd. Now, we had a discussion earlier back on Tes Zayin about finding a shtar in the street, and do you return it? Do you not return it? Omar Rabbi Asi, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamotzi Shtarchov B'Shuk V'Kosubo Henpeik. If you find a shtar in the shuk, and Bezdin has already authorized this shtar, they add a henpeik to the shtar, which certifies that the signatures on the shtar are authentic, there's no forgery. V'Kosuv Bo Zmano Bo Bayom, that in this shtar, the date is exactly today's date, the date in which somebody found the shtar in the street. Yachziro lebailim, because in this case, there's no chshash here on the shtar. Why? Imishum kosav lilvos velo lova kosavo henpek. If you're going to say that the halva, the matmos, never took place, well, the henpek is done in the presence of the lova, and the lova said nothing, and therefore the lova, insofar as he, by omission, he admits that there was halva, that he received the money, then there's no kshash of lo lova. But for imishum piron, Eloi is going to tell me that maybe the lova paid up the shtar, the chov, is lepriya bas yoma lo chayshinan. We never accept a Tainus Piron on this very same day that he took the loan. To say that he took the loan at 9 in the morning and at 5 in the afternoon he came back to pay the loan, he's not believed to make such a claim. Now again, you might assume that maybe the halva took place much earlier, a week before, and the date on the shtar was post-dated, that's called the shtar ma'uchar. So let's say, for example, the halvah took place in the month of Nisan, and the Edom wrote the Zman of Tishrei 6 months later, and therefore, why shouldn't we be choshish that maybe during the six-month period from the time that he got the halvah, which was back in Nisan, until today in Tishrei, he paid up the chov. So the Ritva says that if the shtar was ma'uchar, then the Edim would write on the shtar lo bizmanu kasvenu. They would somehow indicate in the shtar itself that it's a shtar ma'uchar. And since in our case there's no indication in the shtar that it was ma'uchar, we assume that bo bayom, that's exactly the date of the shtar, is exactly the time that the Edim say the lover received the most. And therefore the lover is not believed to say today, parati. The Gemara is not happy with this. Amalei Rab Zera Levasi, Umi Om Rab Yochanan Hachi, is it true, as you claim, Rav Asi, that this is what Rab Yochanan actually formulated, this was his din, his psak, Ha'atu Diamit Mishmei, you yourself said in the name of Rab Yochanan, that Shtar Shalovabo Upro, Eino Chose Velovabo, Shekvar Nimchal Shibudo, once a shtar was used as a shtar chov, and the lover paid up the chov, you can't reuse the same shtar a second time around for a second alvah, because once the shtar was paid up, the chov in the shtar was paid up, that's called nimchal shibudo. And that's any of the shibudim of that are in the shtar generated by the shtar are already paka, they're already paid up, and they're batel mevutal, they're null and void. And therefore, you cannot use the shtar a second time. Because there's no shibud on a subsequent halva. So this halva, in the second case, becomes a milv bal peh. We don't give a shtar into the hands of a malva, which when the halva is a milv bal peh, we've discussed this on many occasions. For the obvious reason that the shtar testifies to a shibud which really doesn't exist in this case, because again, since the shibud in this shtar was nimchal, it was batel mevutal, and now in the second loan we have a milv bal peh without a shibud nechasim, so to give this shtar, allow the shtar to be in the hands of the malva, would be to create a shibud that doesn't exist. There is no shibudim on a milv bal peh. And in what case did Rabbi Yochanan make this statement? Emas. In other words, when does the lover want to take back? In other words, once he paid the chov, he wants to take another halva, subsequent halva with the same shtar. And Rabbi Yochanan says he can't do so. Elam, if it's a case of lemachar uliyom achara, if the halva, the second halva, was for tomorrow or for the day after tomorrow. My iria shekvar nimchal shibudo. Why did Rabbi Yochanan have to invalidate the shtar for a second alvah tomorrow? Typically, the avile muktam. This is a shtar muktam, meaning the chalos shibud of the shtar. Even if I grant you that the shtar could create a shibud, is chal from the time of the matan mos, and not before. The date on this shtar is an earlier date. Usnan. We have a mishnah at the end of Masechta Shviyas, Shtari Chov Hamukdomim Psulim. In the past, we've already made reference to the Shtar, that Shtar Mukdom is possible because then you're going to be Gover from the Lekucha Shalok Kiddin. Ela Lav, but rather by process of elimination, the only way of explaining why Rabbi Yochanan invalidates this Shtar based on Nimchal Shibudo is Biyome. It must be that on the very same day that the lover paid up the chov, he now wants to take the money, take another subsequent loan, and therefore the shtar itself is not a shtar muktam. The date on the shtar vis-a-vis the second loan is accurate, is precise. And in that case, Rabbi Yochanan came along and said, well, you can't reuse the shtar on that very same day, even though the date on the shtar is accurate, because nimchal shibudo. Because this shtar does not have the power to generate shibudin. Alma we see, pare inshi, biyome. Rabbi Yochanan himself is addressing a case where the lover is taking a second loan on the very same day, meaning that he paid up the first loan and now he's asking for a second loan. Malaser Rav Asi says in response to this question of Zera, Mika Amina de lo pari kla. I'm not saying that it's impossible to have a situation. There's no reality whatsoever of a person paying up a chov and then asking for a second loan. You know, maybe he realized that he still needs the money or some other reason. But what I meant to say was, lo shchichi inshi depari biyomika amina. I meant to say that it's not shchia for a person to pay a chov on the very same day that he received the money, and therefore he's not believed in general to say parati on that very same day. Again, Rabbi Yochanan was compelled, so to speak, to paskin, to formulate this din of Nimchal Shibuda for that, you know, one in a million case where a person pays up his chov at 9 and then asks the malva for a secondary, for a second chov at 5 on the same day, where the shtar itself, as far as date and the date of the shtar, is accurate, but Nimchal Shibuda, and that's why the Nechasim are not Mishubadim and the Lekuchas don't have to pay for the second loan. We can't give the shtar to the malva. However, if someone comes along and says, I paid up the chov today, he's not believed, because that's lo shchiyah. Rav Kahana Amar, kishachayev moda. Rav Kahana gives an alternative explanation of the din of Rav Yochanan, that if somebody finds a shtar chov in the shuk, is and it has a henpeg, etc., etc., and it's got today's date, yachzirenu lebailim, because kishachayev moda. In a case where the lova admits that he did not pay up this chov, and therefore we can give it back to the bailim. Rabbi Yochanan had formulated a din that if you find the shtar chov and there's a henpeg on the shtar, you can give it back, if it's got today's date, to the malva. Why? Because the lova admits that he wasn't porei the chov. So Tosa says, what does that have to do with henpeg over here? I mean, even Dalmi Hachi, let's say there was no henpeg. If the lova is admitting that he wasn't porei the chov, give it back to the malva. And Tosa here, Dibra Maskel Rav, points out that Rabbi Yochanan wanted to tell us a chiddush, that if there was no second alva on that same day, then even if there was a henpeg in the shtar, and which means that definitely the lova receive the mos, nevertheless we would not give the malva back the shtar, because we're choshesh l'kinnunya. The Gemara asks, if it's a case of lova moda, that's Rav Kahana, is maila memro, so what's the chiddush that you give the shtar back to the malva? I mean, obviously if the lova is moda that he owes the chov, is maila tem, I would think, hi mifra pari, that in fact the lova did pay up the chov. Hi dekama lo parati. Why is he claiming lo parati? Is mishum de kaboy meheder lemazva be zimnachrini? Because his intention is to borrow money in the future, and therefore he'd rather validate this shtar lepshiti de safrachash. Because again, it's always the lover who pays the scribe to have the shtar written, and that's a certain fee that the lover wants to save himself. He doesn't want to have to pay a scribe for a second shtar. And therefore, he's moda in this shtar, that this shtar is valid, so that he could use this shtar on a second occasion to borrow money. And because of this possibility, of this chashash, we don't want to give the shtar back to the malva. That's what we would have said in the Ma'od Tema. So again, even though, despite the fact that the lover is moda, that he owes the money, we're not going to take that seriously. We're going to explain and justify what motivated the lover to claim, even though he did porea. He did pay back, that he didn't pay back. Kamash Malan, that's what Rabbi Yochanan wants to say, that we're not choshish for this. We'll see why in a second, but rather we return the shtar to the malva. Diem Cain, the Gemara says that if in fact he already paid up the chov, and the lovo is interested in using the chov a second time for a second milva, is malva gufe lo shavik, the malva himself is not going to allow the lova to do that. Why not? Savar, shame be rabbonin mafsidili. The malva is afraid that maybe Bezdin will find out that this chov was already paid up, and therefore the shtar is nimchal shibud, and the shtar is invalid. And as a result, the Malva will lose his rights to collect from the Nichse Alova because it's already Nimchal Shibudo. In other words, the Malva has vested interest in creating a second shtar, not reusing the old shtar. Even though from the Lova's perspective he saves himself the Pshite de Safra, but nevertheless the Malva is not going to allow that to happen because he realizes that he's getting into a real risk situation when Bezdin finds out that this shtar was already paid up and it was being reused for a second loan. They're going to pass the shtar as far as the ability of the shtar to generate shibudim, and therefore the Malva, insofar as Nimchal Shibuda, would forfeit his rights to collect from Mishubodim. But now the Gemara has a Mishnah that we learned early in this Masechta, and that Mishnah becomes problematic. Maishna bihadisnan, the Mishnah says, Motza shtori chov, im yesh mem achrayis nechosim, lo yachzir, that a shtar chov that has achrayis in the shtar, and somebody found the shtar, is lo yachzir, we don't return the shtar. The Okimna, we established that Mishnah is Kshechayev Moda. And even though the Lova is admitting to the Shtar, but nevertheless we don't return the Shtar to the Malfa. Why? Mishum Shema Kosav Lilvos Ben Nisan Velo Lova Tishrei V'yasi L'mitra F'lekuka Shalo Minisan V'yat Tishrei Shalo Kedin. We're afraid of the fact that this Shtar, since it was lost, and that's a raise, so maybe the shtar is a shtar mukdam, and on the date written in the shtar, in fact, the lova did not receive the mos, and therefore we cannot return the shtar to the malva because he'll use this shtar to collect from lekuchas from Nisan on Tishrei when the shibud itself was only engendered and only emerged in Nisan, and we are confiscating the properties of the lekuchos shelo kedin. The law, I mean, we don't say, for that we said before, DMK Malva Gufe Lo Shavik, the Malva himself is not going to be happy, he's not going to agree to take the shtar, like self shtar, but rather he's going to demand from the Lova a different shtar. Why? Because he needs B'Tishrei, he needs the shtar to testify on Tishrei, the Dilma Shami Rabbanu Mafsidile, because he realized that he's taking a risk with this shtar, which is a shtar muktam, that if Bezdin finds out about it, they're going to pass the shtar, and he, the Malva, will lose his rights to collect from Mishubadim. So again, in Rav Kahana's frame of reference, we said that when the Lov admits to the Chov in the shtar, we return the shtar to the Malva, because we insist that the Malva is not going to allow a second halva with the same shtar, because he doesn't want a shtar posel biyado. But here, in the case of our Mishnah, we say that we cannot, despite the hodov, the lova, to the effect that he's chayev, we're not going to return the shtar to the malva, because we're going to be afraid that it's a shtar muktam. Why would the malva have agreed to receive the shtar muktam, accept it? For sure, according to the Svara of Rav Kahana, the Maskona of Rav Kahana, he, the Malva, would have insisted on a replacement shtar. He would not be satisfied in accepting a shtar muktam, because if Bezdin finds out about it, they're going to passel the shtar, and he, the Malva, will lose his rights to collect from Mishubadim. Amri, the Gemara answers, Hasam, over there in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, Matzah shtari chov, a shtar that has a chrayis, and we don't return it to the mouth, because we're afraid it's a shtar mukta mishum de islay rivcha de kataraf lekuchos minisan ve'at tishrei. Maybe the malva would be happy with this shtar because it gives him rights to collect from lekuchos even as way back as far as Nisan is concerned. And therefore, there is a chash that maybe Bezdin will find out that the shtar is muktam, but menach nayach le v'lo amar lo midi. He'd rather hold on to the shtar. He's not going to demand a replacement shtar. But hacha, but here, is kevan de lesle ravcha. I mean, there are two alvos on the same day, so the malva doesn't gain anything by using the old shtar. There's no vested interest here. no monetary gains. Sof shtara ha'id naksiv. So as far as the lekuchos are concerned, my ikad the tarif lekuchos b'shtash nimchal shibudo lo shavik. Therefore, the malva is not going to take this risk and accept a shtar shenimchal shibuda, which is a shtar posel, where Beis Din might completely undermine his ability to collect from shibuda. There is a kshash, however, that the malva would take a shtar mukta because he had vested interests here. He's going to gain something. He profits by the illegality of the shtar. And therefore, he might even be willing to take the shtar and risk the possibility of Beis Din posseling the shtar and hope that Beis Din won't find out about it. And Beis Din will assume that this shtar is not muktam, but that the matan mos, the alva, took place on that date in Nisan. So when he has vested interest, we're not going to play games with a shtar that has a reisa because it fell and it was found in the shuk, and we think maybe it's a shtar muktam. We don't want to be gover from lekuchos shelo kedin. Why did the malva agree to this shtar? He should have demanded a replacement shtar. The answer is he had some risky cheshvin here to gain illegally. But in the case of a second halva on the same day, there the malva certainly is not going to agree to put himself into this precarious situation vis-a-vis the second halva, that he won't be able to be tor for lekuchos if Beis Din finds out the shtar is posel, it's nimchal shibudo. He certainly would demand a second shtar. So therefore Rav Kahana says that in this case that the lov admits to the chov, we can certainly return the shtar to the malva, give him the malva rights to collect from the shibudim of the shtar, and we're not afraid that maybe this is a shtar shenimchal shibudo. The malva would never have agreed to accept such a shtar. Omer Abchia bar Abam Rabbi Yochanan Hatoin Achar Maisa Beis Din. The discussion here is what we call Tnai Beis Din, and that's a reference to the Ksuba. Beis Din made a takana that a Baal has to pay Ksuba. And including the Ksuba is what's called Mazon Ishu Banos, that after he divorces her, he's going to have to continue to support her and support her children. And now, the woman is coming to Beis Din to demand the payment of the ksuba. The Baal says, that's called Toin Achar Maisa Beis Din, that he already paid the ksuba, but he doesn't have Eidin to prove that he paid the ksuba. So is he believed to say Parati? And Rav Chiya quotes Rav Yochanan, and here we're going to turn to Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, Lo Omer Klum, that Beis Din will be Mechayev the Baal to pay the Ksuba after the Gerushin, and he's not believed to say that he already paid. My time, the reason for this is Kol Maisa Beis Din Keman Dinokit Shtar B'yad Adami. Whenever the verdict of Beis Din was established, that's called a Maisa Beis Din, as the Chiv Momen in the case of Ksuba is established by Beis Din, it was Takanis Beis Din called Ksuba, that's considered as if the Baldovar here, meaning the Isha in this case, who is the plaintiff, the Tovea, is holding on to a shtar. And therefore, against the shtar, a person is not believed to say Parati unless he has Eidim to testify and support his claim that he paid up. They saw the Piron. Amalei Rav Chiya bar Abba l'Rav Yochanan, V'lo mishnasenu hizu. Forget about you don't have to come along to be mechadish chidushim. This is explicit in the Mishnah that a maisa Beis Din has the din of a shtar. And this is a Mishnah in Masechet Ksubos on Daf Peches about a man who divorced his wife. She's claiming, demanding payment of the ksuba. Hotzia get v'ein imo ksuba gova ksubasa. That if she comes to Beis Din and she produces the get to testify that she were already received a divorce, she doesn't have the ksuba. The shtar ksuba is not right now in our hands. Nevertheless, she can collect the ksuba. And the Baal can't say, well, the reason why she doesn't have the ksuba is because I paid up the ksuba and she returned the shtar ksuba, because whenever a person pays up his chov, he demands the shtar back. And that's because of Tanai Beis Din. That the Chiv Ksuv is considered by virtue of Tanai Beis Din as if there was a shtar. So you see that Ksuva is a Maisa Beis Din. He collected it as if Keilu Ksuva v'shtar, as if this Chov was written in a shtar. So what did Rabbi Yochanan come to Mechadish? Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan said, a mashal, he loved the delay loch chaspa lo mishkachas marganisa tusa. If not that I lifted up this piece of cheres, you would not see the precious stone that's underneath this piece of china, of earthenware. Meaning, the chiddush of our Mishnah that Ksuba is considered a Maisa Bezdin, you would miss that point unless I pointed it out to you. So the Mishnah is telling us that a Maisa Bezdin can be collected as if it was a Milva Bishtar, but it's only after I told you that, then you appreciated what the Mishnah says. It's very often that somebody says a Chiddush, and then somebody says, well, Rebbe, I have it here in a Gemara. It's already written up in the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, but now you understand the Gemara after I told you the Chiddush. So Abaye is now going to ask Maimar Ganisa. He's going to ask on Rabbi Yochanan that if Rabbi Yochanan understands that the underlying reason of the Mishnah is because Maisa Bezdin is Kiksiva Vishtar, Kiksuva Vishtar Dami, Maimar Ganisa, Dilma, perhaps Bemokum Shein Kosvin Ksuvas Kinan, to get Hainu Ksuva. Maybe the Mishnah in Ksuvas is addressing a case where they didn't have the minug to write a ksuba. That's called makom shein kosvig ksuba. And they rely on the Tanai Beis Din that every marriage has as chayvus for ksuba. And that's why the woman only has to produce her get in front of Beis Din to claim payment of her ksuba. And the get is a ksuba. In other words, the shtar ksuba in a place where we don't write a shtar ksuba is the get. The get itself is the substitute for a shtar ksuba. And if ain kosvig ksuba in those places, then the get itself is testifying on the chiv ksuba, and she doesn't have to show a ksuba in Beis Din in order to collect her ksuba. And there, in those places, the Baal would only be believed to claim that he paid the ksuba if he could produce some sort of shovar or produce edim that testify. Aval b'makom shekosvig ksuba, then in a kita ksuba. Gavya, ilolo gavya. In a place where they write, the minig is to write a ksuba, like our minig today, then she's only believed to claim payment on the ksuba if and when she produces the shtar ksuba. And the Baal could say that he already paid the ksuba and he ripped up the ksuba. Like any lova who claims parati and the malva doesn't have a shtar in his hands. The lova is believed to say parati and he ripped up the shtar. So the Mishnah doesn't really establish that a ksuba is considered a maisa Beis Din, and she doesn't have to have the ksuba, and she's believed. No, the Mishnah is talking about a makom shein kosvig ksuba, says Abaye, and she produces the get. That's a substitute for the ksuba. But ain achinav makom she kosvig ksuba, she would not be believed to claim a ksuba. And the halacha of maisa Beis Din that replaces a shtar ksuba is not correct. And he, the Baal, would be believed to say parati. I paid you up and I ripped up the ksuba. Abaye himself rejects his original question. The isal kedaita, because if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is b'makom shein kosvin ksuvas kinan, it's referring to a case where they don't write a ksuba, a place where it's the get that substitutes for the ksuba. She cannot collect without her ksuba. Is almana mina erisin b'may gavya? In a case of a woman who entered into erisin, there was no nisuin, it was before chuppah, and her husband died, and halacha is that she doesn't have a ksuba because we don't write a ksuba at erisin. The machayv of ksuba is nisuin. Is b'may gavya, how is she going to be able to collect her ksuba? She never got a ksuba. It was before the nisuin. Now, we haven't established yet that the arusa, in this case the almona min erusin, has rights to collect the ksuba. What's that based on? That's going to come up
in the sugya immediately, but right now we're worried about the shtar ksuba. They never wrote a shtar ksuba at the time of the Erusin. They only wrote it at the time of Nesua. Now, how is she going to collect her ksuba? She doesn't have a shtar ksuba. And the answer has to be, says Abai, be ede misis habal, that once we have testimony that her chasan, the chasan ben Erusin, died based on this testimony of two Eidim, basically could be go over the ksuba from the Yorshe Abal, is lit on let the Yorish say Valema Parati, we already paid up the ksuba. V'chitei Malchinam, and if you're going to say that they are believed, the Yorshe Ma believed to say Parati, and came Maho Ilu Chacham V'taknoso, they were misaking the ksuba for an Arusa, when that ksuba is always vulnerable, is always subject to a tain of parati. The Baal or the Yarshim could always say parati. So it must be that even in a place where we write a ksuba, we can collect the ksuba, and the Baal is not believed to say parati, even if she cannot produce the shtar, because in the case of Amon Min HaErusin, she cannot produce the shtar, and yet the Yarshim are not able to tain a parati. They have to have a shovar or aid them to testify that they were poreya. Otherwise, the entire takanas chachamim of ksuba liarusa is completely meaningless. Omalei mark shisha berei derav chizdol rav ashi the almana min ha'erisin dislike ksuba minolan. Your premise, Abai, is that an almana, even min ha'erisin, collects ksuba. Where do you know this from? If it's a Mishnah in Ksubis, and here Abosai, because of the lateness of the hour, we'll take a break, and Beli Neder in the next year will study this Mishnah in Ksubis Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis to see if we could derive from that Mishnah the conclusion of Abaye that there was a Takanas Ksuba even for an Almana Mina Erusin.